want to read this verse to you really quick from Romans 8. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? If we go down further, it says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ in Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for that love tonight?
understand the love of God tonight. I was thinking about this as we're singing, and you know, love will make you do some crazy things. I remember when my wife and I first started talking and we began to fall in love, or you know how that all goes, and the amount of time we'd spend on the phone talking, and that we'd do some crazy things. I would drive all the way to Stockton Springs and back to Bangor in the same night. Why? Because love will make you do some crazy things. And as I'm worshiping, I took a moment to kind of look around, and I realized that this is a church that understands God's love, because we're doing some crazy things. You may know it, not know it because of the norm for you, but to come out on a Sunday night, that's a crazy thing. For there to be a group of people to raise their hands and lift their hands to Jesus, that's a crazy thing. But what that shows me is that we have a revelation of God's love tonight. And so if you love Jesus, I want you to put your hands to heaven one more time. See, it doesn't take much to love God and worship God when there's great singing and great music, but we're going to do something crazy right now. And we're going to do something so crazy that we're going to lift our hands and lift our voices without anybody singing. Just your voices tonight, just your heart tonight connecting with God. Go ahead. Let God know the crazy love that you have for Him. You see, we know God loves us. Now it's time to let Him know that you love Him. Father, we love you tonight. We worship you tonight. See, worship is the way that we show and express our love to God. So let's worship Him for just a minute longer here tonight. It's not about a show. It's not about anything but the love that we have for God tonight. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. That's good, but that's not good enough. You got more in you tonight. Maybe you need to turn this mic up just a little louder tonight, because maybe they're not hearing it, because I know there's more in you tonight. There you go. You see, something's about to break tonight. I believe Pastor's going to preach on the anointing in just a minute. Well, there's an anointing right here, right now for you. And my Bible tells me that the anointing breaks the yoke. And so there's some people that have some yokes on you tonight that God, by His anointing, wants to break off of you right now. He wants to break it off of you right now. So go ahead, stir it up inside of you. Stir it up. Begin to shout, begin to tell Jesus. I'm not going to let you off the hook yet. We're not there. We're not there yet. You've got more in you tonight. Praise you, Lord. Father, we praise you. God, we worship you tonight. God, we worship you, we praise you, because not because we love you, but because you first loved us. And Father, because you first loved us, we recognize that it's reciprocal. We're able to love you, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Now we're going to do something crazy again. See, what we're about to do right now makes no sense unless you understand the love of God. So if you're online or you're here right now, we're going to do something crazy. We're going to talk to God for just a second. That may not sound that crazy to you, but it's crazy. For people who don't know, maybe you're here tonight and you don't know God. Maybe you're checking us out because you want to get to know God. Well, there's something that God gives us, and it's the ability to talk to Him. We call it prayer. And we're going to pray tonight, and this is what I think is going to happen. This is what I know is going to happen right now as we pray together. Whether you're online or if you're in the auditorium tonight, God's going to break something. God's going to do something. If you came in here with a need tonight, God's going to meet that need. He's going to meet you right where you're at tonight, right now. Right now. So pray with me right now, whether you're online or in here. Father, I thank you that you are a good God, and that, God, you're not a figment of our imagination, that you're not just some made up being, but God, you are real. You're in this place and you love us. And so, God, I know this. I know by your word that your ear is not heavy that it cannot save, and that your hand is not short that it cannot reach, Lord God. I thank you that for every situation, Father, that we have, your hand is extending to us, reaching down into the situation, no matter what it is, Father. Lord, you're not afraid of anything. You're not fearful. You're not scared of our situation. But God, you're powerful and mighty and able to reach down in any situation and pull us up out of it, Father. Lord, for every person that has a financial need, they've got a financial burden, Father, I speak blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you'll reach your hand right now in the middle of their finances and make a way where there seems to be no way. Father, for every marital situation, marital difficulty, relationship problem, Father, we pray right now that you reach that hand into that situation right now. Reach your hand down into that situation right now, Lord, and turn it around tonight. Lord, for the parents of the children that are running away from you, I pray that you'll reach your hand down into that situation right now. I pray for a turnaround, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, there's so many potential situations. I can't name them all, but Father, you know every one of them. And I thank you that the answer is on its way. In Jesus' name, somebody shout. Hey, why don't you give three or four people a high five? And this isn't just to like kill time as people sit. Give three or four people a high five and say, the answer is on its way. And then you may have a seat. And as you're having a seat, give it up for our choir. What an awesome job from our choir and band and people. Wow. If only I could sing, I'd join the choir. I actually can't sing. I've tried. They just won't let me. No, God is good. God is good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. If you're online joining us, you're our guest as well as anybody that's maybe here. You know, this is a Sunday night, and we're different around here. We even see visitors and guests for the first time on Sunday nights around here. So if you are visiting for the first time, you are our guest. And in the seat back in front of you, there's a rack, and in that rack is a tall card. You should be able to see it hopefully here in a minute on the screen. It's called a contact card. If you take that out, fill it out, and when the offering comes around, drop that in the offering bucket. We would really appreciate that. There it is right there. It looks just like that. And we just want to be able to connect with you and connect you to a great church. We believe this is a great church. It's not the only church, but it's a great church. It's a wonderful church. God's doing some things around here, and so we want you to be able to be informed with everything that's going on. If you have been coming for a little while, and you want to get connected to us and figure out how you fit into the whole picture here at Charleston Church, there's the Next Steps card. If you take that out, fill it out, and put that in the offering, that would be our way to connect you to the church. And God's doing so many wonderful things around here. I'd say too many to count, but that's not true. Somebody say May 2nd. May 2nd is our first Wednesday service, and it's not going to snow. It's going to be phenomenal. And I can't guarantee that it's not going to snow, but I'm coming no matter what. I don't care if it snows 12 inches. I'm going to be here, Pastor. And so, I know Pastor, nothing will stop him. He'll be here. And if you ever want to have an encounter with God, come Sunday. If Sunday's not enough for you and you want to have more encounters with God, come first Wednesday. You will. I don't make a lot of promises, but when I do, I stand by them. And I promise you come first Wednesday, you'll have an encounter with God. You'll meet God, and it's just another opportunity to fellowship and have a great experience in the presence of God and in the presence of each other. So that's happening May 2nd. Then May 6th is our Better Together service, and we've had, I don't know how many of them we've had so far, but every single Better Together service, I've left a better husband. And that leaves my wife's mind blown because she's like, I didn't think it was possible for you to be a better husband. But all of a sudden, and so if you want to be a better husband or a wife, then you want to come to our Better Together service. At this time, I would like to bring up David and Lily Beck. And while they're coming up, why don't you give them a really loud, even if you don't know who they are yet, you're about to know who they are. They are our missionaries doing a wonderful, powerful work for God in Mexico. And we're just so grateful for them, wonderful people. And we just really wanted them to come and share all that God has been doing. And so come right over here, guys. Come right over here. And just want you to hear what their heart is. Who's the spokesperson?
God bless you, church. We're very, very happy to be here tonight. And we want to start with showing our video first, and then we'll go into sharing what we have, our update.
We to Chiapas, Mexico, without knowing that the night we arrived, an 8.2 earthquake would hit. We were so scared, we cried out to Jesus. But God assured us that we were in His hands. We looked for a house for a month, but because of the earthquake and over 5,000 aftershocks, the devastation and damage was so great, we didn't find anything. But God had a plan. We were invited to move to the mountains to the city of Comitán. We started working with a local pastor. Alegría, Ezra, and I love going to the Sunday school, although at times it's a little scary to get to our class, but we really enjoy our time there. The pastor has also planted 12 churches in 12 different villages in the jungle. There are so many indigenous communities in the jungle that surround our city. Some you can reach by car, but others you have to walk. My dad teaches at 2 Bible schools in the jungle. Most of the students speak Spanish, but they also have their own dialect. It has been a great challenge for my dad, but God has helped him through it. Sometimes we go with him to learn and spend time with the people God has called us to serve. We have learned that their life is hard and that education is not a priority. Moms teach their daughters how to wash from a very young age while they carry their babies on their backs. Meanwhile, the boys play until they reach an age to do hard labor. The river they wash in is their only source of water. They fill their containers, carry them on their heads or wheelbarrows, and bring them to their homes. There are so many other things we would like to share with you about the life in the villages, but it would take too long. Although life may be hard and things may be done differently, God has given us the grace and love to share His love for them.
Well, like the video showed, the day we arrived, the night we arrived, that was the day that an 8.2 earthquake hit. We were in the third floor of a hotel, which I thank God, because the hotel was a newer hotel, and it was able to withstand the earthquake. It didn't have a lot of damage, but I thank God that we were there, because if we would have been in a local house, most of the houses fell. They're made out of adobe, and most of them cracked. So after the earthquake, we felt about 15,000 aftershocks, which are earthquakes. How many of you have been in a bridge and you felt it move? Has anybody felt that? Okay, well, that's about like a 4 or a 5 earthquake. No, yeah, like a 4. So imagine a 8.2 earthquake. It feels like you're in a box and they're just moving you around. So all we can do was cry, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And in the middle of that, God showed us that we were in his hand, and it didn't matter if there was chaos around, we were still in his hand, and that was the safest place to be. Although my parents were like, you need to come back, and we had just driven 3 days to get there, I said, no, although we may feel safer in the States, the safest place is in his hands. So we thank God that we're there, and although it is difficult, God is worth it all. So we moved to the mountains, to a place called Comitán. We are about an hour from La Selva La Candona, and that is where David teaches in the Bible school. We work with different indigenous people. Some of the indigenous people don't get along. So I thank God that we were able to meet this local pastor, because he was the one that introduced us to these villages. If we would have just gone by ourselves to these villages, they would have taken us out with machetes. They was like, you don't belong here. But because of that relationship they have with that pastor, they were able to trust that what we had to offer was okay. And that is most of Mexican or Hispanic people. They work, they appreciate relationships. They appreciate that closeness. And when you build that and nourish that relationship, that is when they're able to open up and receive what you have for them. So I know that God is working in our hearts through that. I mean, we are completely out of our comfort zone, but I know God has great things for us as for them as well. We are there with this pastor. We believe we're there to be a support to this pastor. We see him that he's tired. We see him that he needs support. So we thank God that he has places there to be a support for him. Although, like the video said, David is learning Spanish. The people in one of the villages specifically, some of them don't know how to read and write. Because, like it said, education is not a priority. So they have their own dialect. And David always struggles because he knows very little Spanish. And they know very little Spanish. So he's like, how are they going to understand what I have to say? But what we're praying for is that whatever God has placed in my husband's heart to share, that they would hear it and understand it completely. Because we know God has something great for them. They want to learn. They're hungry to learn the word. But they have only learned it through what they have heard. Like, for example, they believe, and this is funny, they believe that soccer is a sin. And they believe that Paul said it. So those are the things that we come and learn from them and then have to somehow fix it in how they will accept it. Because we can't just say, no, you're wrong. You know, we have to understand their culture and how it would learn how to say it better so that they can appreciate it and they can accept it. So that's a great challenge. But, I mean, we praise the name of God, right? Last year, when we came, I asked you to pray for three things. The first one was, I don't know if you remember, but it was for a kitchen inside my house. And for a bathroom. And yay! Jesus gave me a house with a kitchen and a bathroom. And the good thing is that it's an American-style kitchen, which is with cabinets, and most Mexican houses don't have that. So I was very grateful that God thought of me and decided to give me a kitchen with cabinets. And God is so good, so, so good, because the house that we have rented is a really nice house, and that is a place that we can just, you know, relax, come together again, and then go and minister again. So I really thank God for that, because he thinks about us even in the smallest things, and he wants us to give everything to him. The second thing that we prayed for was a vehicle. The Lord provided money for us to buy a vehicle, and I praised God for that, because we left here and we were, I mean, sometimes our human mind has doubt and has fear that it might not happen. But then the Lord says, wait, hey, didn't I show you that I was faithful to you back then? And reminds you that it is okay to trust in him, that it's okay that he will provide and that he will not fail you, even if it looks impossible. So while we were on our trip down to Texas, we stopped in Maryland, and there was somebody who wanted to just meet with us. She's one of our supporters. And she said, I want to meet with you. So we saw her, and she gave us an envelope. And she's like, put it away right away. And I was like, okay. So I put it away in my purse. And then we chatted and then left, because we were going to then meet at her house. But when I opened it, it was $100 bill after $100 bill after $100 bill. And I couldn't, my heart was just overjoyed about God's promise and faithfulness, because God said he would have a vehicle for us. At first she said, I was going to buy a brand new vehicle for you. But then as we shared with her, a brand new vehicle wouldn't have worked, because Mexico has certain laws that if you bring an American car over, it has to be more than 5 to 10 years old. So a brand new vehicle wouldn't have worked, or it has to have a specific VIN number. So the Lord, there are certain things that we were praying for in a vehicle that would be high enough to avoid potholes and speed bumps and everything else that's in the road. So we got a 2008 SUV. Nissan Pathfinder. And just to see how God even thinks on the smallest things. Well, we had my dad's car. It has like a backup camera. And we're like, oh, that's too much to ask God. But as long as it's a little bit high, that's all we're asking for. But this car has a backup camera, has a hitch on the back, it's fully loaded, and only God can bless you that way. If you are faithful to God, he will then bless you a lot more than what you deserve, because that's the type of God we have. So we praise God for that. All right, so there are several prayer requests that I have for you guys again. We are praying for God's protection. This past year, God protected us through the earthquake. But there is another incident that was, the enemy has been putting a lot of fear in us and a lot of doubt. And our human mind tends to gravitate more to that than to trusting in God, you know. So there was an assault next to our house, and it was at gunpoint, so we could hear everything. We share walls. The guy was pleading for his life. It was just out of a movie scene. And all we could do was just cry out to Jesus, because I don't know if you know, but in Mexico, if you're a witness, you're basically going to die. That's how it is. And we had witnesses, but we didn't know if anybody had seen it. So we were praying, God's protecting, God's hand over us. So the day after, our electricity goes out, and then their electricity goes out, but nobody else's. So that put even more fear in our hearts. What if they're coming to get us? What is this? What is that? And that's how the enemy works. Every time that God places you in a specific place, he puts fear and doubt in your heart so that you can run out. And normally people do that, because sometimes fear can engulf you and your mind can just go out of control. But I know that the enemy's trying so hard to take us out of Chiapas, but we are staying there. So we want for you to pray with us that God will give us fearlessness and boldness to stand where he has placed us. And although it is difficult at times and we want to return, we want the Lord's hand to be upon us, protection for our children and protection for ourselves. We want for you to pray also for God's, for Alegría's complete healing. We had to come to the U.S. In an emergency because we thought she had appendicitis. Thank God she doesn't. It was just a stomach issue that she's been having. But we are believing for God to heal her. We went to the hospital. They give us a runaround that she has nothing. It's only constipation. But there's more. we believe there's more. I mean, we don't want to believe there's more, but like we just want God to heal her completely because it's something that's weighing on us, you know, and we want to be completely healed and healthy so that we can continue the work God has us there. And the last thing I want for you to pray for us is for Mexico. In July 1st, this is a presidential election year. On July 1st, they're going to choose a president, and the president that's winning right now, he is gonna, his plan is to turn Mexico into communism, communist country. We are praying that if the Lord wants us to stay there, that he would give us the grace and mercy to stay there. For the desperation time that's coming, like just in Venezuela and in Cuba, which the Lord allowed me to go to Cuba in November. And I was able to see the awfulness of it all. So I'm praying that the Lord will give us the wisdom of what to do July 1st. We're praying that it doesn't happen, but, you know, everything, it's in God's hands. And just pray with us that we would do whatever the Lord wants. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do scary things and to do things that in our mind is like, oh, no, don't do that. That's not wise. And you have to think of your children. But like I said before, we are in God's hand, and if the Lord wants us there during this communist time, then we will be there, and that will be the safest place that we can be in. So although we may go through troubles and tribulations, although we may have lack, we would never know God's hand if we would never go through the valley. Whenever there's tribulations and troubles, that's when we see God's hand the greatest. God's hand, God's love, the most that you can see it. So I want to encourage you today, church, that if you're going through trouble, don't escape it. Let go through it. God is there. He goes before you. He stands behind you. He walks with you. You don't have to run through it. It only makes your faith stronger, and you will be okay. So we love you, church, very, very much. Now I'm going to pass the mic to my husband. But we love you very, very much. Thank you for praying for us, and we love being here. God bless you.
Wow, what a powerful woman of God, no? Yeah. I praise God for this woman and for what he's been doing in her the past years. And Pastor, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Darcy, it's good to see you, and we thank God for your safety and your daughter's safety. We were praying for you. We were looking to heaven for you all, and we're glad that you're here this afternoon, this evening. I would like to just share very shortly, Pastor. I'm not going to take very long, but just a minute or so. There's a student that I teach in the jungle, and I just want you to get this you know, get a perspective for a second. The students come to this church, and they spend a week there learning from 8 o'clock in the morning to about 1:30. And this student, he walks out of his village, and he walks for 4 hours down the mountain. And then he finds a vehicle that takes him 4 more hours over to the Bible school. Bible school students, I don't know if you would like to do that, but that's something called commitment. And man, it humbled me to see this guy and to see the commitment that he had when he told me that he walked 4 hours. And he invited me to go over to his village. And I told him I would be more than happy to go, but we probably would have to do it at a slower pace because he would probably walk super fast. Anyhow, there's just a few things that I wanted to share with you. The first thing was, there was a verse that the Lord had placed on our hearts, and it's been boiling, and it's been in our hearts these past months, and it's from Romans 1:5, and it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. We have received grace from God to go out to do our assignment. I don't know if you understood that. We receive enabling grace from God to be able to go through and do things to complete the assignment that God has for us, for each one of you. He gave us grace to go through the 8.2 earthquake. He gave us grace. After that, there was 15,000 earthquakes between September and December. He gave us the grace to say, it's okay. That was terrible, but let's keep moving forward to get the assignment done. He gave us grace to reach out to a people that we don't understand, that we can't even understand them. It is just completely a new world. He gave us grace, enabling grace to stay there and just push through and to understand them. He gave us grace when the enemy came so close as to our house. He gave us grace to say, it's okay. My God's bigger, and you're going to be all right. Last year, I shared with you about when we were in Oaxaca and how I was getting ready to go into the shower, and there's just some walls and there's some openings, and there was a whole lot of mosquitoes in there. And I'm thinking to myself, in the most vulnerable moment, how am I going to take this shower without these mosquitoes biting me first? And as I'm standing there, the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, are you going to do what you came here to do? At the moment, that meant something. But I turned on the water, and as I turned on the water, he spoke to me once again. And he says, as long as you're under my stream of protection, the enemy can come as close to you as to almost to bite you and to put the hairs up on your arms. But you're under my protection. He can't touch you. And as I was standing there, as our neighbor was being assaulted, we were praying to God for our neighbor. We were praying to God for our family. And as I was standing there, the Lord said, he's come as close to you as to bite you, but he cannot touch you. There's some people here that need to hear the enemy is coming close. He's going to come to you as close to you as to bite you. But you need to understand that as long as you stay under his protection, under his stream of protection, as long as we meet with him every morning and we meet with him in the afternoon, you are under the protection of the Almighty God, and he cannot touch you. And there's some people here tonight that need to hear that the grace of God, the enabling grace of God, is right there. And it's ready to help you to finish your assignment. As Pastor Jones was speaking last Sunday night, something in my spirit just said, yes, sir. But they need to understand, they need to hear that my grace is sufficient and that it is ready to work for you. It is ready to be right there to help you complete your assignment, Charleston Church, and for every member in this church. We love you all so much, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here. We find a lot of rest here, and we praise God for our time in Maine. And we just thank you once again, Pastor. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Let the Becks know that you love them one more time. Ushers, if you'd please come quickly as possible. Ushers, come on down. And So tonight's offering, we're actually going to take it up for the Becks. So everything that comes in, when you guys give tonight, we're going to give it to the Becks. If you need to write a check, please write that out to the Charleston Church. And maybe in the memo section, write the Becks. That can give us an indication where that's going. You know, God's doing some great things right here in Maine, right here in Charleston in the area. But God can also do great things here and in Mexico at the same time. God is that big. And so, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness, Father. And Lord, your burden and desire to reach the lost, whether that's here or around the world, Lord God, I thank you that your desire is that none should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. And we thank you for it, Father. Bless those who give tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Everybody shout. Amen.
Amen. Something if you'd like.
Yes.
The keyboard is off. Oh, well, you can hum it. There you go. Little Seinfeld music. Oh, it's on now. It's a miracle. It's because you played? Oh, everything is bass sensitive, right? Doing a good job. You know, I tell you, David and Lily Beck are some of the purest people you'll ever meet. And they're the real deal. We love them so much. Of course, they're a part of our church for, was it a year or 2 years at school? 2 years. They're kids coming up through the youth. And then we were sad to see them go. I had to say goodbye, but we always feel it's a bit of a reunion when they come back. And we've been swapping schedules, chaos. But I'm so glad you guys are here. And we want you to know that you've got a home in Charleston. Always got a home in Charleston to come and be blessed. And we want to be a blessing to you. So what specific project do you have a specific project you're going for right now? Or yep. Yeah. Yeah. So finishing on the church building and then some water. I'm going to believe them people ought to have water and the church ought to have a building. So we'll talk about it, okay? Let's talk about it. We've got some projects we're getting done. And let's just see what the Lord will help us to do to help you to get done. There in Chiapas. That's awesome. Praise God. At the end of the service, we're going to gather around you and your family. And the church is just going to pray the next level anointing on your lives. The next level anointing on you. Aren't they precious people? Just real sweet. And I want what they've got to rub off on me. Because as sweet as that, I'm not. But I would like to be. Let's stand together. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. If you've got a Bible with you, then go ahead and open it. But we will have it up on the screen. It kind of helps you to know where I'm going. But Isaiah chapter 61, if I could have about 20 minutes, I'm going to make the best use of it as I possibly can. I think I'm all set now that you got the keyboard on. I'm all good. All right, thank you. Isaiah chapter 61. Somebody say this, I am anointed. Amen. Are you ready for the word? I believe God's going to say something to you tonight. I believe God's going to give you some power. I love what Beck said tonight, that God gave him grace to do something. And when you get anointed, you get grace to do something, and it's not hard. It's easy to do it when you get graced to do it. Amen. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Read it with me, would you? 1, 2, 3. Let's say it together. A lot of white rhythm here. Ready? And I want you to say it with strength. I want you to say it like it's me. Ready? Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Turn to your neighbor and say, and that means you too. All right, then you can be seated. And that's you too, and you can be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Let's talk about this real quick. Are you ready? Come on, if you're ready, say, I'm ready. Praise God. Number one, Jesus did not start. Now, this is a prophetic statement that Jesus would go on to echo as we read in the book of Luke. But I want everybody to hear what I'm about to tell you. Jesus did not start his ministry defending himself. Jesus started his ministry proclaiming what God is here, got him here for. I think sometimes we need to realize whenever God wants to do something great in a place, he sends a son. When God wanted to reach the world, he sent a son. And when God wants to reach people now, he's still sending sons and daughters. Come on, how are we not yet now the sons of daughters of God? It is not yet what we are revealed, but we are becoming and revealing to the world, especially in the last days, not what we are trying to defend, but we are trying to declare what we are here for. Number two, Jesus does not talk about the future events. He starts with simply stating, I am anointed. Number three, he aligned people's expectations so that they would know what his ministry is for. So, understanding this, he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, the Spirit of God works in two places, in you and on you. Where does he work? He works and, very good. He works in us to do a redemptive work in our lives. He works in us to do a change, a renewal, a rebuilding. He refreshes us by His inward work. And at salvation, we understand the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to rebuild our lives. But at salvation is the work within. But at baptism is the work upon. At salvation, the work within is for you. But at baptism, the work is upon, that's for others. And so we want to move, if we want to reach and help people, and I think Sunday night folks do, if we want to reach to help people, we need to start with the work that's within, knowing it's for us, but move to baptism to know that the power upon us helps us to reach other people. Samson had the Spirit of God come upon him, and he could tear apart the wild beast. I want to declare to somebody tonight that's facing some wild beast in life that you need to enjoy the internal refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Anybody here glad that the Holy Spirit can refresh you and rebuild you and revive you? But even better than that, when you face the wild beast outside of you, He'll give you power to rip the jaw off the lion. Amen. Amen. Now, here, verse chapter 61, verse 1. Whoever's running that PowerPoint just have to follow me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Somebody say, because. That word stands out to me significantly tonight. In other words, Jesus said, I have studied the anointing that's on my life. If I were to walk to you tonight, and if you were to admit that there is a spirit that will come upon you, do you know what it's for? Do you know why? We know why the Holy Spirit's within you. It's to do the work of sanctification. But let's move to the next level. Why is the Spirit of God upon you? And do you know much about it? Because what your anointing is should direct you on how you study. Who you listen to. He has anointed me, he's saying. In other words, there's a multifaceted anointing, and your anointing may not be like the anointing of the person in front of you. And so your job is not to study their anointing. Your job is to understand your anointing. Jesus doesn't come in here and say, well, I'm anointed to do what? I don't know. I'm called to do what? The spirit of shrug comes along by people. I just feel good. No, there is a specific task that the anointing comes upon you. How many believe that's an anointing for a family? I believe your family has an anointing. I believe your marriage has an anointing. I believe this church has an anointing. I believe every church has an anointing. I believe a business has an anointing. See, there are different levels of anointing in the Bible. How about the kingly anointed? If you were to do a study, and I might preach a series on it, and take and understand that the judges that ruled Israel were actually deliverers in cyclical times, and each judge had a different strength. And when the people of Israel called for a king, God took the anointing of all those deliverers and put them all into the kingly anointing. A kingly anointing is the ability to lead and deliver. The priestly anointing. The priestly anointing was to stand before God and to cry out to God and spend time in His presence. The prophetic anointing is to cast a mantle. The kingly anointing is to lead, provide. The priestly anointing is to stand before God and hear His voice. The prophetic anointing is to cast a mantle and impart to other people. And then there is the servant's anointing. This is my concern for our church. Because the servants is another word for armor bearer. An armor bearer in Old Testament times were those people who carried the equipment and make sure that everything was available for the moment of ministry. I don't want us to be a church that has platform anointing, but lacks foyer anointing. I don't want to lead a church that has a Sunday anointing, but has no Monday through Saturday anointing. I don't want to be a church that just has tools. Because, you know, you can be a church with many tools and get nothing done. I want us to be a church that not only has tools, but it has anointing. And wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody on the platform and in public were all anointed? But wouldn't it be even more powerful if every nursery worker, if every usher, if every van driver, if every youth worker, come on somebody, if every outreach person, if everybody had an anointing upon them? I'm telling you, not only would we all go to war, we would all win the war together. But if you're not anointed, I'm telling you, the attack upon the place will come upon you and you're not ready for it. So that, look at David, and I'll get right to the scripture. Look at David. You remember David, his first job was a shepherd. As a shepherd, he learned three things. Are you ready? He learned three things. Number one, he knew how to look out for a predator. Number two, he knew how to fight something that was a different species. Number three, he knew how to fight something that was bigger than him. Let me try that on you again. He knew how to identify a predator. Did you get it? I can't remember what the second one was. He learned to fight something that is a different species. Thirdly, he learned to fight something that was bigger than him. So if you think that David was careless, well, I'm anointed. You know, Samuel anointed me. Well, I'm anointed. Ooh, how do you know? Because I feel it. Ooh, I'm anointed. Ooh, I'm anointed. Well, when the bear comes running at you, you better do more than feel it. You better know how to use your gun. Hello? Ooh, that song was anointed. Yeah, but was anybody affected? Ooh, I want that warm feeling. Take a warm bath. I think that we've settled, we've compromised for a feeling, and we've lost the fact that God sends the anointing for results. So David, when he walks into the battlefield, he looks out and sees Goliath. One, he knows it's a predator. Two, he knows it's of a different species because he was a giant. And three, he knew how to fight something bigger than him. So here comes the guy with nothing but a rag and a rock who's never fought in a war, and he knows what to do when the people who have all the weapons and have been trained for war don't do anything. That's why God will take somebody who's gone to church for 30 years and put them on the sidelines and take somebody newly saved and say, I don't know how to do this, but I do know an enemy. I do know that I'm out of my element. I need the Holy Spirit. And if this thing is bigger than me, it's not bigger than God. Oh, God, let us know our anointing. We need to know what's your anointing? Moses had a rod. And one moment he could lift it up and it would split the Red Sea and all the Israelites could go through. And the next moment he could throw it down and it could turn into a snake. God was saying, Moses, you better know, if you don't know how to handle the anointing, the same thing that delivers others is the same thing that can destroy you. We need to know our anointing so that we know where it works, and we need to know our anointing to make sure that it doesn't destroy us. You all okay with this? Isaiah 61. I lost people at the feeling thing. Sorry. Isaiah 61. Really good. Right there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Because I have it. I know what it is. I'm studying it. We all know people that want to do something they're not anointed for. You might be able to sing, but if you're not anointed for it, it's just a song. You might be good at business, but you might not be good at ministry. So just because you're good at something doesn't mean you're anointed for something. How can I know if I'm anointed for something? Something happens. If you're doing a ministry you're not anointed for, it can die off and you'd be disappointed. But you can be in a ministry where you're anointed for it, nobody understands it, and it's just prospering. The anointing has results, okay? Let's see what Jesus said his anointing was for, and I believe there are things we can glean out of his anointing. Number one, to preach good tidings to the poor. The first aspect of Jesus' anointing is the power of proclamation. Preach. Somebody say preach. Preach. I've had some preachers come by here the past couple weeks, and their response to me after they leave this platform are, those people like to be preached to. Not at. But two, do you realize that how you respond to the Word of God will determine if it produces in your life? So people say, well, I was in church, but if you slept through it, you got nothing out of it. You can hear it and agree with it and get nothing out of it. But if you apply faith to the Word, you'll get something out of it. I was thinking, preaching can accelerate your growth if you'll accept preaching, because preaching and teaching are not the same thing. Teaching is necessary. Paul said we should develop doctrine. We need teaching. Teaching attempts to attract the intellect. It gives us, I'll tell you what teaching does. Teaching prepares you to be tested. If all you have is preaching, you're not ready to be tested. But when you get teaching, good doctrine, you get tested. But preaching is not for the intellect. It steps over the intellect and steps down into your spirit. I believe that there are, I know that there are books in heaven. There's a library in heaven, and every one of us have a page in that library. And I believe the anointing comes, and when the anointing comes on the preaching, the Holy Spirit scans a page off of one of those books on a person's life and downloads it into the mind of the preacher, and they, not even knowing what they're saying, can declare something that God has already said would happen in the books of heaven. That's why you need anointed preaching. I don't care if they look cool or if they look non-cool. I'm somewhere in between. But I need you to hear this. When you get in the presence of anointed preaching, God can take you from where you are and immediately set you free and put you to a whole nother level. Hallelujah. In teaching, you have to remember it, but in preaching, it becomes a part of your being. In teaching, the student has to study and remember, but in preaching, the recipient receives an impartation and it just becomes a part of who they are. Come on now. Isn't it interesting? After 3 years, the disciples still didn't know who Jesus was. I know people that are just hanging around church, but they still don't know who Jesus is. But the moment Jesus got up and preached, the demons started saying, "Hey, that's Jesus." I mean, how many understand? Sometimes the devil is more spiritual than Christians. Come on, even demons can appreciate good preaching. Isaiah 61. Next line. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me. Praise God. He has anointed me for a purpose, to proclaim good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To be anointed is not a feeling, according to the Bible. To be anointed was a moment in time when someone would come before the anointer and they would be set apart from that moment on. They have a purpose. They're separated. They have a task. They have a function. Do you understand every song in worship should have a function? Every prayer that's prayed should have a function. Hello? Every act of obedience has a function. Every amount of involvement, there should be a result. And Jesus says, my function is to heal the brokenhearted. The broken heart. He begins to help us to understand that your anointing is for certain places and for certain people. God never wastes the oil. And if he's called you to heal the brokenhearted, but you don't want to be around the brokenhearted, he says, I'll withdraw my oil because my oil is too precious, and I will not waste oil on people who just want to go through the motions and be seen. Come on. There ought to be some broken people in the anointed person's life that are receiving a word of encouragement for healing. We need some, ladies and gentlemen, how many admit our nation needs some significant healing? I've been really burdened lately. The Holy Spirit just keeps speaking to me about the pain of the people in our area. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, as God increases the anointing on this church to heal the brokenhearted, I've been preaching Sunday mornings on families. There is so much brokenness in families. And I think once we begin to see some healing take place, I'm going to tell you, something's going to begin to erupt in God's house. People are desperate for a cure. I can't say, but I saw my wife and I and the family saw a very well-known politician, a former governor of the state of Maine. And this individual, we're just having casual talk and, you know, common conversation. And then I don't usually say it, but I said to this former governor, I said, you know, I pastor in Charleston, and his face completely changed. And immediately he began to talk about how he was in the Capitol with Billy Graham's funeral service. And after everybody left, spent significant time just standing alone at the casket of Billy Graham and talked about how he had an encounter with God. I could tell there was some brokenness, there was some pain in the way he was talking, and he was having a confrontation with God. And I want you to know, I don't know whether you're a former governor or a former homeless person, pain is pain. Pain is pain in the White House, pain is pain in your house, pain is pain for a millionaire, pain is pain for people who are making nothing and can hardly feed their kids. But I'll tell you this, there is an anointing to heal the pain that drugs and government and programs can't seem to do but make worse. And I believe in these last days, God's going to help us to preach the gospel in such a way that we will make sure our message is mixed with mercy and an expectation of judgment. There is judgment coming. Jesus is coming soon. But today is the day of salvation, and mercy in abundance is flowing out. How many believe that the anointed people will have a message of urgency, but an abundance of mercy as well? Look at the people that are drawn to you. Jesus is saying, I will heal the brokenhearted. And interestingly enough, the brokenhearted people were drawn to Jesus. I need some of you to look around at the people that are drawn to you and understand that God has anointed you to speak to them and bring a healing to their brokenness. I've got to move on. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Come on, musicians. I wanted you to hear this. The anointing is not for encouragement. Hello? Can you just stay with me? Are you all okay? Just movies are about an hour longer than we've been in church today, by the way. It didn't say that I've anointed you to bring encouragement, because you can get encouragement from Google. He said, I have sent the anointing to bring liberty. Right? Does not the Bible say that the anointing shall destroy the yoke? Oh, I feel so encouraged. That's good, but if you're still bound, that's not the anointing. I feel so inspired. That's wonderful. That's a byproduct of being in God's presence. But God's best is not for you to leave inspired and bound. God's joy is for you to leave inspired and totally set free. Amen. Liberty. Liberty to the captives. There's all kinds of captives. But the church is called to set the prisoner free. Some of us are assigned to first-time offenders. Hello? Some of us are just called the first-time offenders. They just fell into something. Let's encourage them. This isn't the end of the world. Just smarten up. Liberty to captives. Then some of us are called to people in the insane asylums. You know, prisons do have insane asylums. People who have lost their minds. But then there are people who are on death row. That if they don't hear a word from God right now, I'm going to tell you, hell is so close to them, they need to change right now. And then lastly, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Whew. Wow, what a process. To opening of the prison. How is that different than the captives? I've always wondered that. But this is what he's saying. Sin and perversion is to not just lock you up. How many understand sin is good for a season? If you don't think so, you never did it right. Sin is fun for a season, but there is an aim for sin. Do you understand that the enemy wants sin in your life, not just so that he can make you unhappy or magnify your depression or get you in some real bad relationships? That's not his ultimate goal. That's not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is not to get you in a bad spot, make you immoral. His ultimate goal is to make a covenant of death with you. In other words, he's trying to produce a generational curse. so that he can keep reproducing death and destruction from family to family to family. How many understand what I'm saying? The quicker you get it, the quicker I can come to the home. I can hit this ball home. Do you hear what I'm saying? What I'm trying to communicate to you is that sin, when it's done, produces death. Sin has made an agreement that if it can get into you, then one generation, the next generation, the next generation will ultimately tie you up and cast you into boundless hell. And there's not one organization in the world that can change it, except when the anointing comes. The anointing comes and says, I know your daddy and your granddaddy and your great-granddaddy all did it. But the anointing has come to say that generational curse is broken right here, right now, in this day, and you're not going to carry it through one more generation. That's what the anointing is for. That's the prison. The prison is repetitive problems. The prison is when the problem is in your family DNA. That's the prison. That's the prison. You feel destined to repeat what you saw. But I've come to tell you today, he whom the Son makes free is free indeed. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are now new. What God wants to do is get into the same blood that got you in trouble and put his new blood in you and say, oh yes, I am a child of the King. They sang it phenomenally tonight. I have a place in his house. I'm no longer a captive. I have been set free. How many want that kind of anointing to come on? I'm 4 minutes long. Stand up if you would please and begin to lift your hands and just say, Lord, would you anoint me with fresh oil? Come on, just begin to make that your prayer. I'm gonna shut up. You pray. Come on. It's beautiful. All over this place, all over this building. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Have a right to know what you're anointed for. Hey, hallelujah. Hey, you have a right to know what you're anointed
do that
for.
Song. Do you want to sing it or do you want me to sing it?
Ooh. Jesus, Jesus. Come on. Fresh oil. A fresh anointing. A fresh touch from God. How do you do it? Maybe you don't even know. You lift up Jesus right now. Just begin to lift him up. Jesus, I receive. Come on, take your time. We are in no hurry. Lord, give me a fresh anointing. I want to know what you anointed me for. I want to know why you snatched me out of the grips of hell, why you put me in the family of God. I want to know why you birthed me into this planet. What's my anointing and increase it on my life right now? Increase it right now. Come on, begin to cry out to God. I'm telling you, lives will be changed when you flow in your anointing. Let me just say this. Can I have your attention for just a moment? Thank you, Lord. There are so many anointed people out there that it's easier to try to replicate what somebody else has got. With so much media, with so much television, with so much history, with so much reading, I find that people that want the anointing shortcut the process by trying to preach like somebody else, talk like somebody else, live their convictions by somebody else's convictions. They're trying to duplicate what we call spiritual rock stars and heroes. We idolize people to the point because we're not well fathered, that we don't know who we are, and so we just start doing it because somebody else is doing it. But the sons of Sceva did the same thing, and they left unclothed. Because the devil will strip. When you try to come and do a spiritual work and just duplicate what you saw in your favorite preacher, or sing like your favorite singer, or dress like your favorite guy, I'm going to tell you something. You better learn your anointing, because if you try to do that, the devil will skin you. And I tell you, people don't go after their own anointing because they're afraid of becoming something that they've never seen. And so when people try to flow in somebody else's anointing and they pray somebody else's style, you could hear it in their voice, and they hit the wall and they never seem to get a breakthrough. You just have to say to yourself, you know what? I'm tired of trying to ride somebody else's car. I'm tired of letting somebody else pray and fast for me. I'm tired of somebody else consecrating for me. I'm not going to try to duplicate somebody else's anointing. I'm going to be like me. Maybe you'll be loud. Maybe you'll be quiet. Maybe you'll sing. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be demonstrous. Maybe you'll be quiet. Maybe you'll close your eyes. Maybe you'll leap. I don't care how you do it. But dear friend, if you're busy trying to be like them, then somebody's not being you. The moment I try to be like somebody else, I've vacated Matt Ward's position. And nobody else is stepping into that. And I can't flow. No, come on, somebody. How many of you say, I'll pay the price? I want my own anointing. I want to be what God called me to be. I'm stitched differently. I'm wired differently. Look, if you're old, act your age. If you're young, act your age. But dear God, just be who God called you to be. Yeah, I'm anointed. Somebody shout it. I'm anointed. The moment everybody tries to act like so-and-so and minister like so-and-so, the first 4 years of my ministry, I tried to be me and I got criticized. But I'm so glad I didn't listen to them. I'm just going to be my anointing. I can't be this and I can't be that. Jesus didn't say he's going to be anointed for business, but you are. Jesus didn't say he'd run a Sunday school, but you can. Jesus didn't say that he'd build a massive home church, but you can. Come on, somebody. Jesus just simply said, I'm anointed to do what I'm going to do. You get anointed to do what you're going to do. Now begin to cry out to the Lord and say, thank you for my anointing. Thank you for my mantle. Come on, somebody. Begin to say, by faith, I'll be what I'm going to be. You do what you do you, but I'm going to do me. You be who you want to be. I'm going to be who I want to be. And I'm going to be what God called me to be. Come on, somebody. Come on, get hungry tonight. Somebody get thirsty tonight. Somebody say, I will be anointed with fresh oil. Oh, praise God. Come on, cry out to him, students. Cry out to him, teenagers. Cry out to him, parents. Cry out to him, grandparents. You've got an anointing tonight. Begin to thank him for it. Begin to rejoice tonight for this mighty anointing. Thank God for his power. Thank God for his power. Sing it now, sing it.
Yeah. Not against me. I am who you say I am. Not forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
How many of you could say boldly tonight, I know what I'm anointed for? Just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. I know what I'm anointed for. Put your hand up there. Leave it up there. Don't be ashamed of it. I know what I'm anointed for. You can put your hand down. Then I charge you in the name of Jesus, go after it. Go after it. Stop comparing your anointing with somebody else's. Just do it. I'm not old enough to be hardly anybody's father, but if God were to give me a fatherly voice, I would say to you, the Heavenly Father declares to you tonight that he hasn't changed his mind. You've been through some stuff and you changed your mind, but God says, I know what you've been through, but I haven't changed my mind. My calling is without return. God is more committed to your calling. I promise you, no matter how committed you are, God's more committed to your anointing than you are. Now, there is a section here, maybe a third of the people couldn't raise their hand. I appreciate your honesty. There's nothing wrong with honesty. Honesty is the doorway to the revelation. And you say, I don't know my anointing. I've got several interests, but I want to know my anointing. Well, first of all, identify who's drawn to you. That will tell you some of your anointing. Secondly, what makes you stay up at night? That's your anointing. Come on. What is it that God's given you faith for? That's your anointing. But you cannot get this accomplished in your own strength. It must take the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to make a commitment tonight? I'm going to protect my anointing. Whether you know what it is or not, how many say tonight, I'm going to protect my anointing. I'm going to live right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to get around people of faith. I'm going to feed my faith. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Come on, somebody. Because I know if I don't have my anointing, I can't fulfill my destiny. But if I have my anointing, I can fulfill my destiny, and I can help somebody fulfill theirs. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to those on death row and tell them, Jesus has come to you today. When every person that says, I'm making a commitment to protect my anointing, some of you are going to come with tears. Some of you are going to come with joy. Some of you are going to come with laser focus. I don't care how you come, but say, I'm going to protect my anointing with everything I can to get around this altar real quick. And then we're going to close by praying for the backs. Everybody that says, I'm going to make a commitment to protect. It's not the anointing you picked. It's the anointing that God placed upon you. Come on, quick. Come on, quick. And come up close. Come on. I love ending in the altar. I'm anointed. Say that with me. Come on, I'm anointed. Okay, I can tell I'm going to have to work on that in a minute. Okay, I'll let you come. Praise God. Praise God. Come on in. You know, favor is where the anointing is, where you're anointed. Right? When you're trying to do something you're not anointed for, it's hard to ever see favor in that area. I'm not saying God can't, it's His. He can do anything He wants. But when you're flowing in your anointing, there's tremendous favor. It's called the King's anointing. You cannot do for others that you're not having done for you. Is everybody in here that longs to be? This is an incredible response. Now, let's deal with this. Because I think when I say it, you're afraid to say it. I am anointed. Okay, that's better that time. Thank you. I think you said it out. If we don't say it, He's going to get on our case. But Andy, that's what Jesus did. Jesus stood up in a dead church in Luke chapter 4 and said, hey, y'all deadbeats, I'm anointed. That's awesome. Hey, I'm anointed. Are you sure you don't feel, do you feel good about yourself, Jesus? I'm anointed. What are your credentials? I'm anointed. Well, who said you? Doesn't matter. The Father said, I'm anointed. That's awesome. Own it. Quit being ashamed of it. Quit, well, I don't know. I don't know. No, I'm anointed from God. I'm just looking at you. I just sense the anointings upon your lives. Now, Lord, I pray a refreshing of that anointing power upon every person in this altar. Come on, if you'll receive it by faith, you'll have it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the battle, through the challenges, through the attacks, you become weary, but God says, my spirit in you is still great. Now I want to refresh my spirit upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You're going to a whole nother level of the anointing. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm moving into a prophetic anointing, which means there's a mantle coming upon you right now as a transfer. Hallelujah. A transfer of anointing coming upon the people, upon the leadership, upon the staff, upon the board, upon the volunteers, the armor bearers, the servants, the leaders, the department head leaders. Come on. Ah, thank you, Lord, for a mighty anointing in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we make this our request tonight. That no weapon formed against us can prosper because we are anointed. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage, destroys it, makes it utterly useless over somebody's life tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ.